It's something many of us have been taught to believe is somehow the mark of a mature Christian. But according to today's guest, suffering in silence can block the road to wholeness and good mental health. Join us now for Men Care by Radio. Welcome to another edition of Men Care by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and I'd like to thank you for allowing us to spend the next 15 minutes with you. As children growing up, especially for little boys, we were often told not to cry when something hurt physically. Or if a loved one died, it was somehow more spiritual not to cry and keep a stiff upper lip. But is this healthy or is it wise? Well, Sandra Auer of Campus Crusade is back with us today, and she's going to talk about moving beyond suffering in silence to dealing with the crises and hurts of life in a way that is positive and can promote healing. This interview was recorded live through the internet. Sandra, it's good to have you back with us today, and I know that you have a topic on your mind, and it has to do with suffering. And one of the things that you said to me is that oftentimes Christians feel they have to suffer in silence, and there are some ramifications about that. Maybe you could share that with us.
Yes, I do think that occurs. I think we sometimes have pat answers for things in life that really do cause suffering, and it's legitimate that they cause suffering. And we do, we may tend to emphasize the spirit-filled life or walking with Christ in a way that is almost unreal for the person who's suffering. They don't know how to get there, and they may feel like they're being watched, that they need to somehow at least act like they're doing those things when in fact they're really hurting, and they often get isolated in that hurt.
Now, when you say that people have an almost unreal perspective, what are some things that are associated with that unreality, I guess you could say?
Well, maybe the most common, if you will, is when we lose someone to death, when we lose someone from this earth, either in a timely or an untimely fashion, and we have to learn to live life without them. And if those people around us are intent on emphasizing the joy that should be ours in knowing that our loved one is with Christ or is no longer suffering here, if that's the emphasis that we get from those who are meant to comfort us or stay with us in our own suffering, then we can get very isolated and become very dark in our mood overall because we don't have a place to dialogue about what we're really feeling.
In a sense, we come to feel that the person that tells us that we should have the joy of the Lord, well, I know how I would feel. I would think, you know what, this person doesn't get it. Am I right in that?
For sure. Yeah, I don't think they do get it. And I don't know why that's true, because most of us, if we've lived past puberty, have lost someone or something that mattered to us, even if it was as simple as not getting into the college we wanted or not getting the SAT score that we needed or not getting into the mission group that we wanted. Can be big or smaller things, but those are losses that have an effect on us, and death has a, you know, a more severe effect on us, even though we may have the perspective that this person is with Christ and we may have that promise. That is a comfort, but still we live on this planet and we need to kind of carry on and figure out how to live with this loss. And it can be a lonely journey, right, when in fact it doesn't need to be if we really could come alongside one another.
Now, when we think about suffering, and there are a lot of different kinds of suffering, whether it's mm-hmm. physical, whether it's emotional, what are some ramifications that mm-hmm. come about? What are the results of suffering like this and yet not sharing it with others? What are some of the things that can occur?
I've seen all sorts of varieties of that, Scott. People can find themselves engaged in behaviors that they wouldn't have expected themselves to indulge in. I think of overeating. We can overeat to the point that it's really harmful to our health, and we may not even know why we're doing it. And a lot of times it's about loss. And there are, other ways of indulging our emotional needs too. Anger is another big one that I think is, it affects missionaries just like it affects people who are working outside their home culture in maybe even a greater way than it does those of us who are at home. Anger is a place where we hurt others, we release our own bad energy, if you will.
Right.
But in a way that really has a negative effect on those around us. And I think for the person expressing that anger, it often feels like a relief, and they perhaps don't really measure the effects of it on others. There are other things too. People get involved in illicit sexual behaviors or relationships that aren't healthy. And these days, internet pornography is a real problem for people. It's very accessible, and it provides some kind of release for individuals who are really looking for connection and yet settling for, a really, really unhealthy, self-harming way of going about that.
The things that you're describing to me right now, Sandra, for the most part, whether it's overeating, I mean, certainly people releasing anger, engaging in internet pornography, these are things that are done by an individual with really no contact with other people other than, the anger displayed. Perhaps we should look at ways that if somebody is really going through a very difficult time in their life, really suffering, what are some steps that they can take that will help move them beyond this? And I guess if they're recognizing this in themselves, then they're going to need some steps to move them forward.
I think often those negative or self-harming behaviors occur because of our disconnection. And I think the very best or one of the very best things a person can do when they find themselves behaving in these ways or feeling very needy is to find someone who is safe to talk with or to be with, at least. If you don't want to talk about these things directly, and a lot of people don't, especially men, but there are women like that too. And yet there are ways of being with people that are honest without even needing to be terribly self-revealing. And it's therapeutic just to be with another person in a real way, whether that's, going to a concert or playing soccer or golf, finding ways to release energy that will be healthy and also connect us with other people, put us in the realm of people who seem to be healthier, if you will, less negative or less in a zone of suffering.
One thing that I would share with you, Sandra, is the organization that I belong to. There are people who are not real people. In other words, they don't make friends easily, and it might be difficult for some people to think of anybody that they would feel comfortable going to and even opening themselves up in the way that you're describing. Any thoughts that might help that kind of a person who's going, wow, I don't know that I can, go out there like that?
That's a good question, and it sort of takes me down two roads. One is just that realm of professionals who may be available for those special times, counselors or pastors, educators who are used to managing problems. that we might choose to go to in a time of real need. The other thing that comes to mind is just how needful it is or how important it is for us to connect with others to establish friendships during periods of less need, during periods when we think we don't need people. Because we do, we always do, and we certainly will need some connection at some stage of life, and others need what we have to offer also. I think of a family who, when we were living in Africa in the late 80s, early 90s, a family came to town, and we'd been in this location for 8 or 10 years when they arrived. And they had kids about our age, and they made a couple overtures that let us know that they really wanted to be our friends, but we didn't need any friends. And even though that sounds really crass, we really felt busy and didn't think we really had the time to invest in another family friendship like they were sort of implying they wanted. And yet, after a couple of responses to invitations from them, we started making connections that continue now. And our kids look for opportunities to see the parents and their kids and vice versa. And we're really like family. But if they hadn't persevered, we wouldn't have had the privilege of being able to lean on them when we're hurting, like right. we have in the last few years.
Sandra, as we wrap up our time today, what would you say to that person who has been suffering but wants to move forward?
I would like to say that if you are struggling with anger that's hurting others, or if you're using alcohol in a way that is self-harming or involved in any of these other really negative behaviors, I encourage you to talk with someone who you think is safe just about some more healthy ways of contending with the struggles you're having, because we really do need each other. And these things don't normally fix very readily unless we're in healthy relationship with others.
The Psalms are a rich source of comfort and encouragement in how to express our needs to God and move beyond suffering and on to healing and recovery. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:50, "My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise renews my life." In this passage and many others, we see a crying out to God and the knowledge that even though we do suffer, God is there with us and understands our need and is going to help us as we allow Him to move to recovery. I'd like to thank Sandra for sharing her insights on this subject, and I would like to encourage you to take them to heart. You're listening to MemCare by Radio. We'd like to encourage you to listen to our other programs on the site, as well as check out the other resources available to you. Our prayer and desire is that these programs are an encouragement for you.